Can I now call attention or your attention to the Paradise Town Advisory Board meeting for February 28th, 2023? If you will all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, during the meeting, we ask that you please turn off any electronic devices that you have and any conversations you need to have with your neighbor, if you would take them out into the back office there so we don't disrupt the presenters or the board. We will be taking the items from the agenda as they are presented. However, the board may combine two or more items for consideration or remove an item or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed in the posted agenda. Let's see, all of our members are in attendance except for Kimberly Schwartzlanger, who is absent this evening. And if I could get county staff introductions.
Juan Costas, Clark County Commissioner Jacobson's office.
Rob Kaminsky, Clark County Current Planner.
And
Vivian Kowarski, Planning Commissioner for Commissioner Sager Group.
Thank you. We have a public comment period. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on the agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your name for the record. If any member of the board or council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or board by majority vote. Is there anyone who'd like to speak prior to the meeting? Seeing no one, I'll move on. When you do come up to the, when you come up, if you will please use the microphone over there and give us your name and address for the record. We do have a new fancy camera system now that will put all of your documents onto that screen. If you have large boards, please use the easel and the camera will be pointed towards it. If you have 8x10s, they can lay directly on, but that will be the best way for you to present any items you have to us. Can I get an approval of the minutes for February 14th, 2023?
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes.
February 14th?
February 14th, with no changes or deletions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the minutes for February 14th, 2023. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the agenda for February 28th, 2023.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the agenda for February 28th, 2023 as written with no changes.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the agenda for this evening, February 28th, 2023. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Any informational items, Blanca?
No.
Okay, we'll go straight into planning and zoning. Item number one, UC220668, the highest Daisy Olsabaugh. Holdover use permit for daycare, waivers of development standards for the following: one, eliminate landscaping; two, reduce drive aisle width; and three, reduce trash enclosure setback. Design review for daycare on 0.2 acres in an R1 single family residential zone, generally located on the south side of Flamingo Road, 140 feet west of Shepherd Drive within Paradise. Hi. If you can give us your name and address for the record, and Blanca, you want to put this on there?
We just want to be able to get the pictures with the phone. We just, if you guys, that's what we want to have on the transcript.
My name is Rosa Alfonso, and I have 6881 West Common Boulevard. Here, on behalf of the applicant, we are here tonight for a use permit at daycare. A daycare is a use that is made in any community. The property is located on the south side of Flamingo Road. And the address is 4787 East Flamingo Road. The property is currently zoned in and residential, but it's in an area that is transitioning to no residential use. The property is developed with a single family home that we intend to convert into a daycare. No cars will be back into Flamingo Road since we have sufficient space to turn around on the site. We have this site on our site plan to incorporate some landscaping areas. With that addition, we believe the size and use will be an asset to the area. We will respectfully respect your approval of our respect, and I will be more than happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
Well, Madam Chair, one of the major concerns of this last time was what the neighbors would think. And they have two letters in this little thing they handed out that both of the neighbors on either side say that they're aware of it being a daycare and they're not having an issue with that. So that's issue one, sort of closed for me. And I do see they have a little cute few little planters that they have on their documents that they want to add, which I think addresses the need for landscaping, more or less. So I'm good with that.
Okay.
So my concerns are addressed as far as this goes.
One of the big items that staff had was the trash enclosure, but looking at the plan, there's really no other place to put the trash enclosure. And it's no different than if it was still residential putting their trash cans on that side before they rolled them out. So I didn't see an issue with that being flagged. And it looks like in one of the pictures they've already added some landscaping at the side where it was recommended. Oh, yeah, and they did add the little garden.
Yep.
It's already done. All right. I agree. Do you have anything, John?
Yeah. The landscaping that you added kind of threw in there. What's keeping it alive?
It's light plants.
Yeah. Is it getting water? Or do you just stick it in the ground?
No, it gets water.
It gets water?
It gets water. There's
irrigation there? Because I don't see it.
Yes. We will get the system that it will water the plants.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they will have a glove. The times that are permitted by the city for the plants to be watered, the amounts of day of the week that the city permits them.
Okay. I think one of the other issues was turning, is it staff, I believe, had an issue turning off the flamingo into the property?
No, you did.
Yeah. And
staff had it too, but okay.
It's going to be a family business, so everybody is going to be in just one car because it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Be working by her sister, daughter, and nephew. So everybody's going in one car. And for the drop off of the kids, it's going to have a scheduled time, so it's not going to be too much traffic inside, and it's enough space for people to back up and through straight into the Flamingo. They will have to go backwards into the main street, what is Flamingo Road.
I noted in there too that I see there's a couple of cars parked there, so obviously it's not a problem on Flamingo as far as traffic getting off to the side to pull into the driveway. And I would think that being a smaller daycare, you're not going to have a lot of people showing up and leaving it.
It's going to be just a scheduled time when they drop off the kids and they pick up, and each kid is going to have a scheduled time for drop off and pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all the parents coming at the same time to drop off and get it.
Okay. Well, if you keep it up looking like it does, I don't have a problem with it, and I don't see a traffic issue at this point. This kind of helps clarify that.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And also, Madam Chair, I actually went out there to do a site visit this afternoon, and I did like the improvements that were made, and I did see the quite awesome.
Yeah, if you look along that corridor on Flamingo, a lot of the properties in that area are all sort of the same.
Yes.
With a lot of concrete, some landscaping, but they all have the same issue with Flamingo, and I haven't heard or seen any big problem there.
No one else has any comments. I would make a motion to approve this item with the if approved conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Good luck.
You should take these with you for your next presentation.
Yep, you're going on to the next step.
Thank you so
you're
much.
Going to Planning Commission on the 21st.
Okay, 21st. Thank you so much.
Oh, wait a minute.
Have a good night.
The 21st is already gone.
Well, March 21st?
March says February 21st.
The date wasn't updated.
Oh, okay.
No, Wednesday.
Yeah, we don't have. Just go.
What is it?
The
7th.
Item number 2, ET 22400136, UC 19-0668, 3900 Paradise, Resi owner, SPE LLC, use permit, second extension of time for the following: one, multiple family residential development, and two, increased density. Waivers of development standards for the following: increased building height and reduced parking lot landscaping. Design review, design review for multiple family residential development on 5.4 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone, generally located 250 feet east of Paradise Road, 625 feet south of Twain Avenue within Paradise.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Bob Pronauer, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive. I'm here representing the applicant and owner on this property for this application tonight. My understanding is about 30 days ago you had a discussion on this item as we had representatives here from our office representing this matter. Before I revisit some of that discussion, I think what's important is to help shape some of the issues here of where we need to go from here is to give you a little bit of a historical perspective with respect to the property itself. I know many of you know this piece of property, you know it well. I know it very well. It is for about 15 years. Our office was over here. I think it started on the FIB Tower, or First Interstate Tower, excuse me, and as well as Fargo over here. For about 15 years, this shopping center I personally visited, know the history here. When it was Ruth Chris was located in here, the original Firefly was located here, which is the Tacos and Beer. This is Cleaver. We know that there are some people here through our discussions. There used to be a cigar bar there where it had a delicatessen in the back there. You know, Jersey Mike's has been there for a long time. You've had some turnover, some other restaurants in this area here. And in the back here, as you all know, this was where the office building was located for many years before it burned down. Our client came in and purchased a property somewhere around 2019. When we got the entitlements for this property, for the entire property, this is the blue is the commercial, and in the yellow is what is entitled for the residential development. The purpose of this here, showing you for illustrated purposes, is these are, although we have common interests of ownership, these are under two separate entities and two separate properties, although it's all been part of a commercial shopping center. That said, in November, I think it was 2019, we were approved for a multifamily development. It was a corridor type building. I believe that it is about seven-story garage, five-story apartment building. Something similar to the one that Kalita has built over in this area here, which exists today in the Howard Hughes property. Subsequent to that, the idea here was to also refurbish this commercial shopping center. It was outdated from 2019 when they purchased the property. So the goal here was to make an investment of anywhere about, I think it's about $150 to $175 million of an investment of purchasing the property, refurbishing, tearing things down, and doing what you see in their construction today. As we went through this process, one of the frustrating things of what happened to slow down the construction, I think this was a question last time that came up in the last meeting, is the garage that you see there standing today. We had a discrepancy with the fire department where it slowed us down for several months for construction. And the reason for that is the same garage that is located here at Howard Hughes, the design, the same garage that we purchased and built over at the Palms off of Flamingo for our projects, is the same garage that we purchased here. It was prefab, and we were bringing it, I think it was from Arizona or whatever, but the fire plans check determined that this garage did not meet building code, although all of our other garages met building code. The reason why I bring that up, because this is part of the frustration, is we were hoping to have development done much sooner or much further along, but unfortunately, we had several months going back and forth with the fire department in regards to where we had to come back and spend tens of thousands of dollars to retrofit the garage that we had before we put on the property. So that slowed us down for about 7 months to 9 months in that area, which we would be much further along in construction. However, with that being said, you've seen the construction phases we've gone through. In the backup, one of my partners, as you mentioned, we've pulled our permits. We're moving through the development phases. Unfortunately, this gets to where the frustration comes from the tenants in the commercial shopping area. Whenever you're dealing with construction, nothing is good with construction. There's always a mess. There's always a slowdown in construction. There's always a problem somewhere. So the commercial side of the ownership here decided when they were coming in to refurbish a shopping center, one of the things they did is they have their joint ventureship over here with one of their partners, where they're able to get 100 spaces from what I'm going to refer to this as a Howard Hughes parking garage. So back last year, sometime I think it was fourth quarter of last year, somewhere in the beginning of fourth quarter, the third quarter, the commercial entity reached out to all of its tenants to let them know that they were providing additional 100 parking spaces over into the Howard, what we call the Howard Hughes parking garage. Some of our tenants took advantage of it. Some of our tenants didn't. As was mentioned, I think last time, with the clarification, Taco wasn't there here. Just recently, they just reached out to us to request for the POMs for their employees to park over in the Howard Hughes area. Cleaver has taken somewhat of an advantage of that, using some of the clickers and spaces. But we know from the commercial side, not all of our tenants, which include Cleaver and also includes Taco Bell and all the others in here, have really used and utilized the garage area that we have for the employees. We really believe that in regards to some of the issues that you have in this area here, outside of the construction that's going on, is you're having employees park in the parking spaces where if they would park over here, we believe it doesn't solve the parking. I don't think anything will solve the parking if you know the history here, but just it's a tricky area for the parking. That being said, in addition, one of the things that I forgot to mention in the historical perspective in here, when we came in for the administrative design review for the approval, we added, there was a condition to provide 95 parking spaces, okay? So for clarification, as well as a part of that application working with the planning department, that was to be when we came in and built the garage and completed the project, that we would provide 95 parking spaces to the commercial center. Based off our conversations over the last 30 days, we were able to even, in looking at our plans in the residential portion, we reached out to both Cleaver and Talking Beer and explained to them we could add even an additional 30 more parking spaces in here on our residential project. We still meet parking requirements when this is all built out, but the intent of this and the condition that was previously imposed on this was to provide cross-access parking, and we're going to provide additional parking for the commercial uses in the area. The problem with this is we can't provide anything in this area. It's a liability. It's all under construction in this area. So the intent of that condition was always to be a part of the parking garage when we completed the project itself. Understand that I know Cleaver's here tonight. I don't know if Tacos and Beer is here tonight. My partner, Tony Celeste, has had a couple conversations with them. One of the things that they would like us to do is to do valet parking. We did have valet parking. We provided it when we were restriping, resurfacing the parking lot in this area here. That is something we could have a discussion about. We told them we're not interested in doing valet parking. But if that is something that comes about later on as We feel that there's a need out there. There is a provision in the lease that both Tacos and Beer and Cleaver would be paying for those services. Those were new leases that were negotiated. So we prefer to sit down with them and find to see if the direction that we took in having them and make sure Cleaver has all their employees park over here and also Tacos and Beer and others, that might relieve some of the concerns of parking. But to wrap everything up, it's whenever you're dealing with construction, this is the downside of it, of trying to do a refurbishment here, because at the end of the story here, sometime in September of next year, of 2024, hopefully by September 2024, all this will be completed. In the meantime, from the commercial side of the operator, they want to do what they can within reason to help their tenants, because obviously you want a good synergy. The only other thing I'm going to point out is, and you may see some pictures, you might have heard that there's some construction trucks parking in certain areas in the parking lot itself. That was not our construction people, but we have to man this place better. When I say we, the commercial area is due to more security. Apparently, these are some TI improvements being done here. So some of those trucks, construction trucks, sometimes park in those areas. We got to do a better job from here on out. We made that commitment with our tenants. So that may come up as an issue, or you may see some pictures on that, but that is something that we're made aware of and we got to be more cognizant of. So that being said, getting back to the use permit or the extension of time that we're asking for is, this is just for the residential portion itself that's before you tonight. We would like to continue to work with the neighbors because we understand that any conditions that you try to impose or impose on the project that impacts this, it's not going to be, in our opinion, enforceable because what's before you today is this application on this property. But we're more than willing to continue to work with our tenants because if there's anything, we want to make sure we fix what we need to fix in this area. So with that being said, I can answer any questions or I can address additional comments that come up after my presentation.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? You take the microphone and give us your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is Delia Barilla. Address is 2804 West Wiki Boulevard. I'm here on behalf of Cleaver. I did have communication with Tabitha throughout the day. They were not able to make it. They're working on their new location or Firefly, but she did say it was okay to mention that she's on board with asking the things that we want to ask for. We met with Finsecker Bloom a week and a half ago, I think, and to just kind of see what our options were and what was reasonable for us to kind of be asking for as a condition for approval for what for the extension. The valet service was brought up, and I think I did bring it up last time as well. So that is still something that we feel would help. Again, it does raise a concern of where would they park those cars. So there's more that kind of needs to be figured out on that end. The other thing that we discussed and would like to ask for is there's still some leases that are, some spaces that are available to be leased. And so while yes, there is not too much that can happen to create more parking spaces, we do feel it's important that we don't bring on more additional nighttime tenants to then have to share more parking with them. We're already in a very bad spot as it is. Bringing on additional nighttime tenants is simply going to make things worse. So we kind of feel like that could be a potential solution to, again, not make it worse. The construction was mentioned earlier. That definitely having better enforcement of that, because we're still having issues with that. And we understand it's a construction zone, but when they're all said and done, I think there's other places to put all of the materials in the trucks and things like that than the very limited parking we already have. And then the other thing that was brought up is potentially keeping the off-site parking lot as well once the construction is finished. We did get an email from Tony, I think it was yesterday. And so we did have communication with Tony and his team. We met once at Tacos and Beer, and then we met with Tick Secker Bloom, and then we got his email yesterday. So we definitely don't feel like there was enough communication with them in terms of finding a solution. It was really just the follow-up email that we got yesterday saying that they were going to provide additional 30 spots when everything was said and done. But no real idea, or they did say no to the ballet. They did say that they would not pay for the ballet, that we do have the option of getting it, but we would have to incur those costs with the other tenants that wanted to participate in that. So we kind of don't feel like anything was actually resolved in the one meeting we had and the follow-up email from yesterday. So we do kind of want something a little bit more firm so that we can feel that we're being heard and something is being done to mitigate the issues that we're having. So also they, I do know that they took note of how many people are using the parking garage. And that information is very helpful for us because we have a policy for our employees that that they have to park off-site. So if we can get that information and every employee has a code so we know who is parking there and who is not, we are very happy to collect that information and do disciplinary actions on the employees for not following that policy to help. We want to work with what we have, with what they're providing. So I did see that list today, so I'm happy to get that every day and move forward with that as a way to make sure that our employees are parking off-site. Because we want to make sure it's happening. So I think that I'm glad we got a meeting, but I do think that kind of more needs to be done. So we're hoping that can happen.
Thank you. Yeah. Is anyone else who'd like to speak?
Hey, Greg, Kai Mendoza, 2409 Wimbledon Drive. So several things were brought up about the project and about what is being offered now. There's several things that are leaving out. If you look at the list that you guys have now, you probably didn't have as much time as we had to evaluate it. This massive package you probably had today. But that being said, those numbers are inaccurate. Today we did a clicker count on our own accord, and it doubled the number that they have there for every single day that they have combined. So I don't know where those numbers are coming from, but they're simply inaccurate. That is from, as far as our research that we did on it, this is from us actually tracking our employees into the actual garage that they're staying with providers. There's not much that I can really bring up that we haven't already brought up, but the simple fact is this. What they're providing us on the actual map is still going to disappear once the parking is... Nothing will change in the situation that we're in. So once this project is done, I just want to make it clear, we are almost in the exact same position, if not five spots less, because they're going to pull the other garage that they're providing now to supplement the parking that we have now. So it's just an equal swap. We're not getting any more parking, nothing has been resolved, and there is no solution here. When this is all said and done and complete, that the parking spaces that they're providing us are for these 100 spaces that they say that we already have. But they're already providing that to a garage, and that is only for employees. There's a big separation in employees and what our actual guests are. And it's very simple why they would separate this, because it's convenient. It's separated because they want to account for one as private living and the other one for a business. But if you look at them both, they are owned by the same people. One is for private living, which can house who knows how many people, and the other one is built to produce thousands and thousands of people throughout the days. So the fact that they still have the ability to put more restaurants in is just, for us, it's kind of, it's beyond the point of unheard of. It's now to the point where it's almost unsafe. You know, having employees walk across Paradise, whether it's good weather conditions or bad weather conditions, these are all servers, waiters, bussers. We have cooks, but they're walking across Paradise. Everybody here has been on Paradise. And once people start grasping that there are people carrying hundreds of dollars or gratuities every single night, this is a safety concern. We are going to have to deal with this until the end of next year. That's if everything goes great. We simply don't have the resources we need to operate the buildings that they leased us. And the property that they're providing, or the parking that they're providing here, is still not at 100%. It's kind of fallen on deaf ears, and we just don't know which kind of direction to go. Yes, we had meetings with them, but I can also speak to a wall, and if it's not going to respond nothing but one day before in hopes that we kind of don't catch the email and then it comes to you guys, then we're kind of sitting here with our hands up. We at this point, it's just frustration. We really don't know what to do. But to leave it short and simple, the situation that we're in now will be improved with 30 parking spaces. which is still less than 30% of what we had originally, because none of us were here to grasp it as fast as they were able to push it through, because nobody would have guessed 2 months we would have a full build-out approval. So that's just the situation we're in. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone else who'd like to speak? See, no, is there?
No, I just, okay. Mic almost fell.
See, no one, I will close it to the public and open it to the board. Mr. Kronhauer, would you like to respond?
Just one point that I definitely want to respond to the last speaker is, as I said, is back in September, we provided 100 parking spaces. I want to be clear on this. And it has been underutilized by Cleaver. It's been underutilized. Actually, Todd Rosenbeer didn't even contact us until about, I'd say, within the last 30 days. So it's kind of hard to say that we're not communicating and or we're not trying to work with our neighbors or tenants, excuse me. But I'd like to at least give that a shot, because I think, as the lady mentioned, it is, we got to figure out why and where are all these employees parking. Because if they're not taking advantage of the clickers, we know, and we have a computer printout, so we're not making this stuff up. The computer, I'm going to presume, you put your fob in, it clicks when you come in, and it clicks when you come out. We see what numbers are using it. We'll definitely work with Cleaver, and if Tacos and Beer ever uses their employees there, we believe that will help. It's not going to solve all the problems. The second thing, though, that I want to point out is the 95 plus 30, let's call 125 spaces that we'll be adding in this area, exceed the code requirements, okay? We're not taking away parking and adding parking somewhere else, because I think that what the gentleman was mentioning is that 100 spaces off property right now is something that we did on our own. We did it. The tenants did not ask us, so we're willing to work with them. The concern is the demands on the valet, the demands and requests on the valet. We'd rather sit down and try to work out something that's reasonable and work something in that area if that is truly what they need, because they're going to have to be born with that cost. So we don't want to just agree to say we're going to do something to do something. And then I think that's really about it. Outside, the only last thing that I do want to point out is I kind of feel, out of respect, I know this doesn't come out the right way, we're kind of held hostage on this use permit, because if you deny this use permit, this extension of time tonight, this problem doesn't go away. It stays, and actually it's worse. If you approve the application, we're still continuing to move forward with construction. We have those 95 or 125 spaces. So for us, the best case scenario would be, or for everybody, is regardless what action you take on this application, hopefully approval, is that we can work with them off on the side here to get to some form of agreement. Because whatever those agreements are, the problem is we have two separate property owners that we're dealing with, even though we have commonality. But we can't have the yellow property as highlighted accepting conditions for the blue property when the blue property is not before you tonight. But our commitment is because we have more stuff coming through, that you'll see us and we'll have these discussions again. But we believe that the first step is, let's resolve that issue where we have employee parking. Let's make sure we can enforce that.
Thank you. Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
You have anything?
Okay. So I think part of the issue here we're having is, I think we're having two different conversations. I think what they are saying is currently you're providing 100 spots, and later you're supposed to provide 95 plus a 30, say. But what they're saying is currently the parking with that 100 spots is not sufficient. And so I think they're worried about in the future, even though you're going to provide 125 spots, they're still going to be seeing not enough parking spots.
I agree. If I could mention, so the clarification right there that I didn't do a good job is, and actually you broke it down better, is they're not, employees are not parking where the employees should be parking, and that is the reason why, not the main reason, but that is a contributory reason why parking is a problem, because we have a list that shows you maybe a handful of Cleaver employees are actually using the employee parking. Tacos and Beer has not used the employee parking. So that is, you're correct. So you broke it down better than I was trying to explain.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the main issues, and it might come down to having to have the restaurants actually enforcing and doing disciplinary to get that and seeing if that relieves the situation. because we don't want to hold anything hostage. We don't like that word. But we also want to make sure that, you know, businesses can make money and survive, and our people don't cross it off their list because they don't want to park there. That, I don't know about the valet service. I don't like valet. I'm from here. I park in Park and Road. Just, I'm not sure about making your company pay for it or your client pay for it versus maybe coming up with a partial agreement where you can come up with a 50-50 split where they're not bearing all of the cost and or you're not also bearing all of the cost. But the fact is that there's not enough parking and we cannot make restaurant owners or businesses enforce using the clippers. So it's going to have to be kind of a collusion amongst y'all.
John?
Well, to some extent, I feel like your problem is being put on them. Not your problem personally, but who you represent. They're supposed to do all these things so that they can do that, but they don't seem to be getting something in return. Now, I've looked at this report that came rather late. I see Concentra. Okay. They're not part of Cleaver.
No, they're not. They are one of the tenants that's the UMC Care.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I see some Cleaver. I don't know how many people Cleaver has. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to compare this against.
It's more than a half a dozen to a dozen that are on there.
Yeah, not knowing what their employments are, I don't see how I can, other than Concentra shows up quite a bit, I don't know how to compare Cleaver or any of the other businesses to this because I don't know what their staffing is at any given time, so it doesn't really help me much. I do have a problem with the fact that they have to cross over Paradise and it's dark, and Paradise is not a safe place to be when you're crossing the road in the middle of the road and there's no traffic light or anything there. I don't think there's even a pedestrian warning.
I worked in the building
that burned down. I worked in that for 5 years. But to make them cross that street on top of the fact that this is not the safest place in town, especially when you're carrying money. There's a high crime rate in that area. And I think the gentleman is correct in that once that is figured out, and it will be, that those people are at risk. They're at risk for crossing the street in the first place in the dark, and they're at risk carrying large amounts of money. And so, you know, what's being afforded to them? It seems like everything's being put on them. On top of, I don't care who's responsible for being in those parking spaces out front that shouldn't be there, part of the construction, and taking up their spaces. That was supposed to be clear for them and their people, and they have a place to park across the street, which I'm still not satisfied with. So it seems like the burden is being placed on them because they've had a lot of issues building this place. So I don't see how I can agree to this because there's no resolution to the problem yet. And if we go ahead and approve it, yeah, that might slow you down. But the resolution, how do we know this is going to get resolved? How do we know somebody's not going to cross that street and get killed? How do we know somebody's not going to go across that street and get robbed and killed?
Those are great points, and as I mentioned, I know there's a crosswalk there. As I said, I traveled meeting there. Our building was Wells Fargo building, and less in the last 5 or 7 years, they took away the crosswalk. I've walked it.
Have you seen though what happens to people when they cross at crosswalks in this town?
Yeah.
You can put up flashing yellow lights and red lights and all sorts of things, and people will blow right through it.
I agree. The good news is, as of today, since September-ish, in the fourth quarter, third or fourth quarter, we started this for the employees. Mm-hmm. No one has been injured, and no one's been robbed.
Yes.
As of yet. And you can see how much the, I think it's UMC care, the emergency quick care, that's there. We haven't had any problems to date, but I agree with you. There's a concern at all times. And those are things we'd like to also continue to sit down. If those are legitimate concerns. Those weren't brought up until just recently, but those who have been using it, we have not heard of any issues of those who have been using it successfully.
But I'm not one of these people that sits around and wait for somebody to get killed before we decide to do something about it. And there's not a lot of traffic enforcement out there right now. I'm kind of conflicted, I'm sorry.
I'm a commercial property manager, so I do this every day. First of all, we did not get Tony's letter till 10 minutes before this meeting started to be able to look at, read his letter, and look at, try to figure out what the heck these little schedules were. We never did get the tacos and beer letter that's referenced here that they supposedly sent that went to the town board from Persimmons Management Consulting, so I have no idea what they said about the issue. And there's no one here from Tacos and Beer, so we really can't address theirs. We can only address Cleaver. Looking at your list, it looks like Cleaver is using the parking. I'm going to assume they come in shifts, and there's quite a bit of Cleavers coming in shift numbers. But that shouldn't matter, because in the long run, a tenant is entitled to have their staff and their guests park there. And the problem with this shopping center is the types of tenants they have chosen continue to exceed the parking. So you can say that only so many parking spaces are necessary for retail or for a restaurant, but if you're successful, like Cleaver is, you're going to have more people and more staff, and you need to be able to adjust for that. And so, you know, I don't like to diminish any of my fellow property managers, but you have a very poor one, because this shouldn't have gotten to this point. There should have been discussions about what kind of tenants that we can afford to put in here dealing with the parking, because even if you give them the 100 space in the back, and I do want to point out that you said we have to look at this separate, but the whole package came to us as one thing, and that's why their 95 spaces got put in there. When this was first presented to us, it wasn't, oh, you're only going to deal with this residential building. This was a mixed use center. So that's why we're even hearing them. If it was just about your property and wasn't similar ownership, wouldn't have been concerned. So as far as, you know, not wanting to hold you up, that's hard to do, because it's like the only thing we have to make you be a good neighbor. And waiting till 30 days later to notify us, not of a solution, but of, here, we told them and they're not complying, when you're not really complying. If I was the property manager, I would have been out there taking pictures of employees parked in the parking lot so I could prove that they were parking in the parking lot. And I would be knocking on the tenant's door saying, your employees parked there, you need to move them across the street, because we have to control. That's your job as a property manager, is to manage the property, and they're not doing it. They're just printing out a log and saying, see, they're not cooperating. That's not reasonable management. So as I say, it seems like the meetings with them, the notice to us was like a last minute, oh, it's, we gotta get this done, just throw them a bone, we'll promise to work with them. So we have to trust you're gonna work with them. Now, you're their representative, you're not the guy that's gonna go work with them. So how do we have that insurance that they're going to start managing this property? Because it isn't going to go away. Once you give up those 50 spots, That's another thought point I'll make, is I think the cost of those 50 spots, unless they're giving them to you free, would offset the cost of valet, because I don't think it's fair for them to have to be punished because you got the wrong parking garage and it's going to take you longer. They thought it was going to be done. So you should say, sorry, we ran into this construction delay. I'm going to put valet out there. It's not that big of an expense to keep your tenants happy. Because if it's the same ownership or similar, you know, partners, you're going to lose all your tenants. The prospects are going to go talk to these guys and they're going to say, you don't want to be here? There's no parking. I mean, it's just good business sense to work with your neighbor and give them the one thing they want, which is valet. You pay for valet for 1 year, they leave you alone, you finish your project, yeah, move on. So that's our, I think, if, well, can we live
that's
with...
What, that's well, what I'm doing, is putting a burden on these other...
I could just count this. I went through and counted every day separately, the one that's a cleaner. And I would say they range anywhere from 14 spots being taken up to 30.
So a single day?
In a single day. That's a cleaner that we counted in there. So if we're saying this is only, you're giving them 100 spots, and this is only one employer who is utilizing it, if we see all of the other tenants utilizing it, they're not all going to fit.
Well, today, in all fairness, we have utilized 100 spots and they're not using it. Okay. So until we go over that 100, I will
agree
that.
I'm just saying that from a very small sample size of 2 weeks, week and a half, this is 9 days, it looks like there's anywhere between 12 to 30 people using these spots. And if we're saying all the restaurants are using it, again, I don't have any people right now, we're going to see that it's not going to match. And if we're going to enforce that and make them happy and they're not going to have any more employees parking up there, we might end up going, employees have to park out front because there's not enough spots. So that is a concern of just counting. And it's not fun counting while someone else is talking. I'm sorry for ignoring your speech because I had to count.
I pretty much... I'm on board with everybody with their concerns as well. Because I was actually there last weekend, and I got to tell you, parking was a nightmare. I couldn't find parking. I had to park across the street, and I had to hobble across the street. And you're kind of in better conditions due to whatever. I'm thinking about other people out there too as well. I think this would be worked out. But I honestly think you should really reach out to your parents and come up with a solution. Safety is a huge factor. I did a safety walk for UMLD that UMLD cleaned up because of the crime rate that was going on in that area. And that's just not the safest neighborhood. I don't feel walking anywhere, but if I was anybody else, with a family or something like that going in that area, especially as for the workers, I do very much have friends in the industry as well. It's sometimes hundreds of dollars a night. And it don't take long for the bad guy to figure out where the money is going. That's all I got to say.
So what we can do to move this along is just add some conditions.
I suck at adding conditions.
Okay. I'm dope. John? All right. Oh, by the way, Tony's picture he sent to us today shows no crosswalk, no signal. Just so you know.
Well, I can tell you, I've walked that crosswalk for many years for lunch and dinner, so.
I think it's further down the street on the corner of Elite where Siegel Suites are, and there's a crosswalk at the signal on the corner, but not in the middle between Howard Hughes and this property.
And there again, I don't know that a signal or yellow lights or flashing lights, I mean, they can put Chicken Man there and nobody stops.
Well, so. and that's not something they can do anyway. They can't put in a crosswalk, only the county could. So.
I know, I understand that, but that still then creates the unsafe condition to even consider doing that.
My condition would to be that we add that the ownership is to provide valet parking to the tenants until the construction is complete. And that way solves their problem, you get approved, we all move forward. So that's
so are we saying that the valet parking, if we go that route,
has to be provided until
for everyone.
For yes.
That wants the valet park.
Yes.
Employees, customers.
Well, hopefully the customers will continue to use. Well, no, not even then, because at some point or another, everybody has to live over there. So if the valet has to park the car, you have a clicker and go park the car over there and then bring it back, they can do that. That gives them their spaces until they have the open space. So that's my solution to get you moving. So I'm gonna make a motion to approve this item subject to preliminary staff condition with an additional condition of adding the ownership to provide valet parking to the shopping center at their expense until completion of the parking garage. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. And the only thing out of respect is we're not going to be able to enforce that on the adjacent property owner because even though they're different entities, like said, the commonality. So that condition, I understand, is going to move forward and that requirement. But for Cleaver and everybody, because we're going to have more extensive conversations, it's hard for us to force another property owner to have valet service. Okay, but we're going to be working on this.
I understand. As I say, you got to be a good neighbor and you need a better property manager.
Thank you.
Oh, and I'm still waiting for my tickets to Emmett's.
I'm waiting for Emmett's in April.
April.
Yes.
Okay, item number 3. Thank everybody for their patience. WS220685. Prologis LP, waivers of development standards for the following: 1 attached sidewalks, 2 street landscaping, and 3 throat depth. Design reviews for the following: 1 distribution center and 2 finished grade on 80 acres in an M1 light manufacturing zone in the Asian Design Overlay District, generally located on the south side of Desert Inn Road, 280 feet west of Valley View Boulevard within Paradise. Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Your name and address?
Is this on?
Yep, it's on.
Good evening, Teresa Wolf, 6671 Las Vegas Boulevard, 89119, PREASEA, here on behalf of Advocate. We have before you an industrial project at further west at the southwest corner of Desert Inn and Valley View. It's a traditional industrial building with loading docks in the rear. And we have elevations and landscape plans to show, but I kind of want to just mainly point out the site plan because staff was recommending approval, and but there was one condition that they gave us to either relocate the southwest driveway or remove it due to conflict with an existing driveway for the proposed apartment complex that just got approved to go into the south of us. So we're here before you to present the changes from the site plan because those are not updated in the staff report, but staff did get a copy of everything today and we did work with planning and with public works. So on the site plan here, there used to be a driveway right here. And so we eliminated that driveway and revised the site plan here to accommodate the removal of that driveway, as well as due to the removal of the driveway, the throat depth increased to 75 feet versus 25 feet, which was written in the staff report. So with that, we eliminated parking adjacent to the driveways so that we could meet the queue length, which is the intended throat depth. So staff is supposed to pull in our labor. The other item that we're applying for is waiver for attached sidewalk. Waiver for detached sidewalk. Because on both streets along Desert Inn, the sidewalk is already attached in existing conditions. Pioneer, those portions of Pioneer, to the east and the west of our site that are attached. So we are requesting that the sidewalks stay attached and providing a 10-foot landscape buffer on the south side adjacent to Pioneer and a 15-foot landscape buffer along the measure. And staff is in agreement with it. So with that, if you'd like more information on the site plan or the elevation of the landscape plan, I can answer those, and the architect is also going to answer the questions that you have.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? I can't ever see anybody. Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
Well, I'll start with the first two waivers for the existing sidewalks. There's no reason to make them dig up perfectly. Well, probably okay sidewalks. Just being real about our building standards here. I don't see any issue with the landscaping 10 feet where it's 15 feet. We're in a drought. Don't water more land than we need. The throw up is the only one that gives me any pause ever, and that's just because the way people have made us drive.
So you, it says 3 feet, but you say you've now extended the throw
right.
depth?
So the way that the Clark County Standard drawing measures throw depth is as you come in from the driveway after you pass the return, the straight portion is how we measure it. So some of these driveways where we have a turn right away, like this one's more than 3 feet. So what we've done is to meet the intent of the throat depth, which is to reduce the need for a car to stop, to back up into the street. We've knocked out the rows of parking to provide a queuing length that's equal to the throat depth. So it means the intent.
I'm not worried about them.
Anybody else? All right, if no one has anything, I'll make a motion to approve, subject to the preliminary staff conditions. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Losing my agenda. Item number 4, UC230031 MGP Lesser LLC. Use permits for the following: 1, a high impact project; 2, resort hotel; 3, public areas including but not limited to casinos, showrooms, theater, retail, restaurants, offices, pharmacy, personal services, art gallery, live entertainment, nightclubs, indoor and outdoor dining and drinking and alcohol sales, packaged liquor, beer and wine; 4, associated accessory and incidental commercial uses, buildings and structures, including retail areas, dining, theater, spa, fitness center, and daycare; and 5, deviations as depicted per plans on file. Deviations for the following: 1, increase building height; 2, reduce height setback ratio; 3, encroachment into airspace; 4, reduce loading spaces; 5, allow primary access into portions of the building from the exterior of the resort hotel; 6, alternative landscaping and pedestrian realm; and 7, all of the deviations as depicted per plans on file. Waiver of development standards for modified driveway geometrics. Design reviews for the following: 1, a high impact project; 2, resort hotel with all associated and accessory uses, structures and incidental buildings and structures; and 3, finished grade on a 69.8 acres in H1 limited resort and apartment zone, generally located on the west side of Las Vegas Boulevard South, 1,300 feet south of Spring Mountain Road within Paradise.
That was
awful.
Yeah, one more time.
Good morning. Here we go.
Well, that was important. We've been here all night. Good evening. Jennifer Lazovich, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here tonight on behalf of what will soon be branded as the new Hard Rock Hotel. On the aerial right here is the former site of the Mirage property. It runs, of course, back here is Sammy Davis Drive, and then over here is Las Vegas Boulevard. The subject of the application tonight is right where the volcano sits today. That volcano is going to be removed, and the new plan will be to do the new, which I will get to the fun picture in a minute, but to do the new guitar tower, which is going to come in and will sit right here with the guitar tower coming up. The existing Mirage Hotel and Casino will, of course, remain as it is, but will be rebranded into a Hard Rock property, so you will be seeing a subsequent application that comes forward that shows you everything they're doing back here. For example, where the lion or the habitat used to be in the big building right here, that's going to go away. And then all of this whole pool and cabana area will be redone. Obviously, the exterior will change as well, but that's not subject for tonight. For tonight, we're just here to talk about the new tower. The new tower will have 600 rooms. It will have a fab height of 660 feet. I'll get to the picture. Here's the picture. It will completely change the landscape, I think, in a positive way for the Las Vegas Strip, in an iconic way. If any of you have seen the Hard Rock in Florida, in Hollywood, Florida, I encourage you to Google it because it's already been built there. And while this is a rendering, pictures of it at night are really like they're pretty, really, really, really neat. It's already been built, so you can get a feeling for what it looks like. We do have several deviations. Obviously, one of them is the height deviation. We have filed our documents with the FAA. For that, reduce the height setback ratio from an arterial street. That starts about 59 feet in the air is where that starts to kind of pop out a little bit. And so that's why staff can support that, because it starts to be where the guitar bulbs out on the side. Permit encroachment into airspace, that's to allow us to go to the height we want to be. For the loading spaces, we looked at this again. We have, while we're adding this hotel tower, we also are operating in conjunction with all of the formerly known as Mirage property. And so doing that reduction to 12 spaces, where 24 are required, we know it works because of how the property is functioning today. The primary access into portions of the building from the exterior, so a lot of resort hotels, you guys probably have seen this a handful of times, I know the Dream Hotel did it as well. They are asking to have direct access from the outside of the property into the pool area, so if you do a day club or anything like that, you don't have people necessarily having to go through the hotel itself to get to the pool area, so that's been a common deviation that resort hotels are asking for up and down. For the alternative landscaping and pedestrian realm along Las Vegas Boulevard, this gives you an idea. We will have the tower and the guitar kind of sit up here.
Can you move it over a little bit?
Whoops, that's not good.
There we go.
I just turned it off. I need to do 8.5 by 11, but I'm learning. So this is where the guitar tower sits. This is the podium, and then the tower comes up from here. As you can see, this will be where our pedestrian realm or sidewalk is, 15 feet along here, and then we'll have some landscaping on either side of that. So that talks about the alternative landscaping and pedestrian realm, because we're detaching it and kind of meandering it, but it's not exactly consistent with how we're doing it. So that's the reason for the alternative. And then it says all other plans on file. We are keeping our existing driveways that come off of Las Vegas Boulevard today in the locations where they sit right now. Of course, there's a number of conditions, performance agreements, development agreements, which we had anticipated and we've been working on. And so I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. So the pedestrian realm is already there. It's not really going to change, is it? From where you stand and look at the volcano now?
So that's kind of a loaded question. Tell me if I've got this right, Rob. So we ultimately have to do the widening of Las Vegas Boulevard, which we know goes up and down, but in some cases that widening goes through the middle of buildings. So we worked with Public Works to do an offset to get 50 more feet on our side. But you can't necessarily develop that right now, because then we'd be the only one that kind of it bumps out with.
Right.
So in the short term, you're right, it stays where it is, but eventually it kind of moves west a little bit because the street will theoretically widen.
And the guitar is running along the street or
perpendicular.
Perpendicular.
So the
Okay.
So Las Vegas Boulevard would be like right here. So if you're driving on Las Vegas Boulevard,
you're
gonna
see
the edge of it.
And is there going to be retail in that platform underneath?
Yes, and then that will be where on the top of that platform, it's a little hard to see, but we will have some pools in there for the hotel guests, like on the top. And then there'll be retail
across the front,
along the frontage of Las Vegas Boulevard.
Okay.
And then we're going to, this is not what you're asking, but maybe this picture is helpful. Can I show this a little better? So this shows like, here's of course the pedestrian realm, Las Vegas Boulevard. The porte-cochere area stays with the, I don't know, maybe you know this, but there is underground parking under here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to have, I'm glad I just said that out loud, we're also going to have a boring company, a boring station. Eventually, we're in talks with them, but that's also shown on our plans, but it would be underground, and that will be part of what you can access eventually when that station gets built. We're already on the existing map that the boring company got approved as a station location, so you won't see a separate use permit. We've just showed it on our plans that way. So maybe that's a better picture because it kind of shows you in blue.
So is the guitar a totally different, if you're going to stay in the hotel, you check in over there. If you're staying in the old portion, you check in on that side?
Yes, but they are doing a connection.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure that's shown on here, but they are going to do a connection point between the two.
Okay. Anybody else? Want to make a motion? Go ahead, John.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve, subject to any and all of the staff's conditions.
Okay, motion on the floor to approve this item subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Nice to see all of you.
Nice to see you.
See you
again. Okay, item number five, WC23400013ZC011802, GSN Flamingo LP, waiver of conditions of a zone change requiring single story on all buildings, a maximum height of 30 feet with a previously approved freestanding pharmacy and future shopping center, with a previously approved zone change to reclassify 4.9 acres. From an R1 single-family residential zone to a C1 local business zone for a mini warehouse facility, generally located on the south side of Flamingo Road and the west side of Mountain Vista Street within Paris. Oh, do you want me to do six at the same time? Read both items in at the same time?
If we can.
Yeah, sure. So we'll add item number six, UC230034, GSN Flamingo LP, use permit for a mini warehouse facility, waiver of development standards for modified commercial driveway standards, a design review for a proposed mini warehouse facility on 3.5 acres in a C1 local business zone, generally located on the south side of Flamingo Road and the west side of Mountain Street within Paradise. Name and address, please.
Good evening, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Shirley, Shirley Design Studio, 9270 Nesto Avenue, mm-hmm. Here on behalf of the applicant, with Blake Rosser.
Okay. Blake Rosser, 2165 Horse Ferry Drive.
Thank you.
The secretary needs that again.
Both of you?
Yes, his last name is Rosser, R-O-S-S-E-R.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mine is Shirley, S-H-U-R-L-E-Y.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hello.
We have a new storage facility located at the southwest corner of East Flamingo and Mountain Vista Street. A little history about the site. The site was originally R1. There was a zone change that came through to change it to C1 to have a pharmacy and a future shopping center. There are some existing conditions that were added to that zone change. For the R1 to C1, the max height had to be 30 feet. They wanted to have an intense landscape buffer. They wanted to have that the previous developer construct all off-site, and then they wanted all buildings to be single story. Working with these existing conditions, our client wanted to be a good neighbor. And so they agreed to keep the intense high estate buffer between the C1 and residential. They also agreed to have a max height of 30 feet. And the only condition that we're asking to waive is to waive the single story. We're proposing a two-story storage facilities for the buildings of A and B, and then single story around the perimeter. So that's the condition we're asking for, to remove the single story and allow the two story. We're asking for a waiver of conditions due to the existing condition of all the offsites having been constructed. The existing geometrics for the driveways do not meet the existing Title 30, so we're asking for those conditions to be waived.
Yeah,
and all the buildings are basically the same height as the CVS, and we're meeting the required 3-to-1 setback that's required by Title 30, 50-to-30.5 for this fashion. I can get more in depth into it if you have any questions.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Can you hand them the microphone? Give us your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Eric McCammon, 4319 Malaga Drive. That's MCCANMOND. I live just not too far from this development. In 2021, the County Commission approved a new vision for our community in the 2021 Master Plan. Under the 2021 Master Plan, this particular parcel was given a Master Plan Use designation of Neighborhood Commercial. Neighborhood Commercial Plan Land Use Category provides opportunities for compact nodes of low-intensity retail services and offices that serve residents of the immediate neighborhoods. Primary land uses include a mix of retail, restaurants, offices, service commercial, and other professional services. Supporting land uses include public uses such as parks, trails, open space, places of assembly, schools, libraries, and other complementary uses. Neighborhood commercial is not like the old general commercial, like industrial. This is more of a light commercial use that's supposed to support local neighborhoods. Mini warehouse is something that you see in general commercial and light industrial zoning districts. It's not intended for neighborhood commercial. This should not be built here. Our neighborhood is primarily residential with an elementary school located directly across the street from the proposed development. Right now we're sandwiched between the Highway 95 on the west and very heavy commercial along Boulder Highway on the east. The proposed development provides no value to residents in the immediate neighborhood, therefore conflicting with the neighborhood commercial land use category of the 2021 Master Plan. Rather than encouraging local services and places of assembly reached by walking or bicycling, as the Master Plan calls for, we're basically exacerbating an unwalkable streetscape dominated by gas stations and automobile-centric development already too intense for existing development. We have high school children with nothing to do in our neighborhood because all we have is two gas stations and a CVS and a thrift shop. And now we're going to put a storage facility. We do not need a storage facility. This corner would be an ideal location for the previously approved shopping center, operated by locals for locals, make it inviting for local youth, people who want to support local businesses, and people who don't want to drive for a decent cup of coffee. Our neighborhood needs rejuvenation. We need businesses that invite locals out of our little gated subdivision to go out and enjoy our neighborhood, appreciate our neighborhood. We don't need many stores. Support the Master Plan, deny this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Can you give me your name and address, please?
Sure. My name is Jenny Fox. I live at 4319 Malaga Drive. I've lived in my house down the street from the lot in question for 20 years. I've passed this vacant lot countless times over the years and wondered when and hoped that something other than just the CVS or gas stations on the corner would come. I hoped something might show up to offset the high crime nearby on Boulder Highway.
What do the residents of my neighborhood need for our quality of life? What do the children and families that come and go from the school across the street need? We need a park that we can walk to. We need a shopping area we can walk to, a local restaurant, or a neighborhood coffee shop. We most certainly do not need a storage facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else like to speak? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
I'd like to see this. This is also number six, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to see the design review as far as what this is going to look like. Besides just that, do you have anything?
We have the elevations, and we also put together a. Yeah.
I think the one you had up before is more what we want to see, the photo with it imposed.
Okay.
Yeah, on the
I'd like
site.
To see it. Yeah, that,
yeah, that
right
one,
there.
That's much better.
This does not show the landscape in it. Again, this was more
right, but it just shows us what it's going to look like in terms of the neighborhood.
Here.
So the okay, so that's the I think that's a CVS on the corner.
Right.
CVS.
And then you've got the two-story right there because you're not that far from where I'm at. What is on the back side of those buildings as far as, you know, I know it's a storage facility. Are there windows there, open hallways, like some of the storage facilities
no.
I see?
No, so as far as the... You're talking about what the back side of it looks like?
Uh-huh.
So I was trying
towards
to
get the
back to the site plan. The residential is on the back right here. So the residential is this area here. You can see the existing homes. We have a single story along that area with an intense landscape buffer.
Okay.
You can see in our landscape plan.
And on the two stories, there's no windows there.
Sorry,
that's pretty much like it is.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to explain. So there's an existing block wall that the neighbors have, a garden wall that's 6-8 foot. The back of our building that is adjacent to the neighbors is all masonry split face. And it only exceeds to about 11 foot tall at the cap, and then it goes downhill from there. So it's lower. We did that on purpose to try and create a buffer. I'd like to address some of the security concerns of the neighbors. I understand, you know, with how everyone would love parks and they love things for communities, mm-hmm. but unfortunately it's hard to do that in certain vacant lands, especially with land price where they're at. Inline retail, technically, as you've seen a lot of it around the neighborhood, it does attract more riffraff, specifically if there are vape shops, smoke shops, bed shops, things. The misconception with storage is that it's a lot of traffic. We basically get typically 5 to 10 visitors a day, because once they put their stuff there, they know it's nice and secure. Our facility is fully camered and gated. We don't allow any loitering inside the facility. It's a nice buffer to the CVS, which is, I agree, can create some riffraff. I have one near me. So I understand that, you know, mini storage or storage has a bad stigma, but really it is a very low impact for commercial. We don't have any light shining into the neighbors. We have a nice secure facility. We will protect the people from coming up over the wall into the neighborhood. And you eliminate all the riffraff at CVS from the view. And we're trying to encompass that and kind of bring in a nice, good looking building. So that's what we're doing. And also with the enhanced landscape between the homes, because we had to maintain a distance between the homes, our wall, our back of our building, and their actual fence walls. Mm-hmm.
So and then you'll have a landscaping.
Yes, I'll show you here. And this is the to the south. So there's the landscape to the south. This here is landscaping that is facing west, and then it continues up to Flamingo. proposing any additional driveways. We're using existing ingress and egress from CVS, and we're actually securing it with fencing and gates so that there's no possibility of anyone coming into the site here without being on camera. And obviously, we're very concerned about our customers' belongings, so we run a very tight ship when it comes to security.
Traffic generally isn't that heavy at any given time going into these facilities.
Right? Yeah, our hours typically, you know, our gates don't operate until 7 a.m., and then people have to be out of the facilities by 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And usually they come when there's someone in the manager's office on site, because that way they know if they, you know, need to get in, they need to pay their rent, they want to buy locks or other things, and, you know, we have cell locks and boxes and moving supplies.
Okay, so really, that piece of property there has sat vacant for a long time. And the bottom line is that businesses have moved out of the area. And restaurants aren't likely. They've moved out of the area. Park isn't likely. Maybe apartments. I'd much rather have something like this next to me, and approximately 0.3 miles from there, which is closer to where I live, up on Sand, just past Sand Hill, so it's probably 0.4. There is another one that's a storage facility that's not even going to compare to what this one will look like. This one should look a whole lot even better, although the one up on Pecos right there is landscaped fairly nice. So I really don't see a problem with it being there, personally. I go by there all the time.
Use colors to try to blend with the neighborhood and also with earth tones. You know, you want to be recognized, but you don't want to be too bold.
I think it will actually enhance that corner.
John, wasn't this, help me with my memory, because there was a parcel that was going to be a Family Dollar and additional shopping center. And I don't know if it remember it was this corner or
there's another
on Tropicana and Mountain Vista, but I remember, I mean, it was, I don't remember this ever being on a developer's plan to be a nice little neighborhood shopping center that you are all hoping for. It's more than like, you know, and so.
They already have that up at Sand Hill and Flamingo. And those
that must be
are making it, okay? They're making it, but to add more into it, I just don't see that happening.
And that there. Well, and that's what I'm going to say from my position as managing these kind of centers is retail is dying because of the internet. So the only thing you get are food places or hair place because nobody is opening retail shops. So these are the kind of cases where, as I say, I swear this was supposed to be a Family Dollar, which isn't going to eliminate the crime you're worried about.
It's going to be like right next door to the CVS.
Right next. The little space and in the back was.
Yeah.
We also, Bob Orgel and I also looked at this spot because they wanted to put in apartments, and that got shot down because of the size of the particular lot. But we look at, you know, you gotta be careful what you wish for. I know it's not assisting the neighborhood in adding shopping and restaurants, but in terms of crime, this is very low crime situation. This is very, it's gonna be quiet, it's gonna be clean. You're not gonna have a bunch of people over there making noise. You know, it's one of the better things you could get if you can't get a developer to do shopping. And so, again, we could say, oh, the neighbors don't want it and turn it down, but how long, I mean, it's allowed in this zoning. They're not asking for a zone change. So it's very, we don't legally have a reason for, to tell them no.
I have a question. just based on what I'm seeing, there is a nice sort of looking development of what I've seen in the past, and I'm fairly new to this, but I'm not new to having something in my backyard. My only concerns that I'm seeing, and I don't see it, like light elevations, you know, nothing I'd be irritated more than having light in my backyard. I purposely moved to a landscape space area just so that I don't have business lights in my backyard because I've left this before in the past. So what are you guys doing to ensure that these lights are not going to be
Well, these where they used to develop the works, this space is in the interior, and this shines only down, they're all down lights to the driveway only. So we don't have any parking lights, we don't have any big bright lights. So it's basically to drive to light up the drive aisles in front of the roll of doors. This elevation you see here, that faces the public, and you have just a few lights, but that's facing Mountain Vista. So it's facing the CVS. This is more of our storefront look, because we don't have any roll doors facing that way because of the shared lot. So all the interior stuff, so all the two-story is shining down onto the lower levels. The one-story is all shining away from the neighbors, and those are 30-foot deep units. So you have the 10-foot setback, plus you have 30 more feet that's going downhill, and then the light's there. So you're not even gonna be able to technically see it. And this site does slope towards Mountain Vista. The houses actually sit up above a little bit. So the line of sight, that's one thing where, you know, I know other developers look at this site because they're familiar with multifamily. The concern is you have to go multi-story. Now you're staring down at people's backyards. And that was a concern. Plus it's too narrow between that and CVS. On the other portion it wasn't as bad. But yeah, so all these lights are downlights. And we don't have anything that shines towards any neighbors at all. Okay. Just internally in that sense.
There's no way there's any space in between the residents and the property line where people could go and build camps and hide out.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a wall here. So here, this is the back of the building, which is all CMU. This is the back of the building, this is CMU. And over here, we don't have any windows, and we only have lights here. So the only area that I can see, you know, this particular property, but if these are downlights, they're not going to go beyond the drive aisle. So you wouldn't even shine onto the landscape strip. And these are all fenced off too, so it doesn't allow people to loiter between the houses and the back of the building.
I also point out in this picture that you can't see it from here, but right across the street is a gas station. There's another vacant lot. And then it's, when you talk about any kind of retail or anything like that going in there, once you get past that vacant lot, it's the edge of a dead shopping center, a very large shopping center. And I don't think that shopping center is going to come back.
And to make a clarification, the planning board does review this entity with the master plan in Title 30. They're not just... They're not going to be like, oh man, this sounds cool, and just ignore everything. So the planning board does think this fits within the master plan, does think this fits within Title 30. I think it fits within the limited and low use of that portion. And I agree with what everyone else said. As much as we would love there to be a park, no one's going to build a park behind a CVS. It's just not going to be in it. Also, definitely not in a Tetris piece shape that lot is. I think that's the best hope we could have for a building going into that kind of weird L shape. So, no one else has anything to say.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve, subject to staff's preliminary conditions.
5 and 6?
Yes.
So we have a motion on the floor to approve items 5 and 6, subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So you do have an opportunity on March the 22nd at the Board of County Commissioners. That's where they appear for final approval. If you'd like to voice your opinion to them as well, they make the final decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Item number 7, WS230013, Morale John P. Revocable Trust and Morale John P. Trust, waivers of development standards for the following: one, landscaping, and two, alternative driveway geometrics, design reviews for the following: an additional office warehouse building, and two, finished grade in conjunction with an existing office warehouse building on 1.9 acres in an M1 light manufacturing zone. It's generally located on the west side of Polaris Avenue, 260 feet north of Caravetta Court within Paradise.
Just a reminder, if you have conversations, please take it outside.
Go ahead, your name and address. Sorry, you had to wait.
Simone Stevens,
1956
Moon Springs.
Excuse me, did you say Stevens?
Yes.
It's just, okay. It's just, I don't know if you're speaking into that or what, but I couldn't hear you. Thank you.
Just
speak with authority.
So I'm here on behalf of the owner, applicant. This site is an existing site. He has an existing warehouse, the existing office portion of it. He just wants to expand, so he wants to build an additional warehouse. This used to be just a storage yard that's not being utilized at all. But I'm not sure if if the existing tenant is moving into it, or if he's just, I'm really not sure what's going on. But yeah, he just wants to expand to utilize the unused storage space. So he's proposing a new warehouse and an office, new landscape area in here, parking. He does want to keep the existing driveways, which are built for old standard dwellings. And that's the waiver that we're asking for, to not upgrade to the new standards. The whole Polaris Street is very low traffic, so we don't think that it was necessary. So therefore, we were asking for a waiver on that one. We also asked for a waiver for landscape to reduce the landscape requirements, just because it is tight in here. But we are providing, even though we're not meeting the Title 30 requirements, we are providing more landscape than what's existing.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. If no one has any comments or questions, I make a motion to approve, subject to the preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. General business? Nothing. Comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of their presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or board by majority vote. We have no one present. Our next meeting is March 14th, 2023. Can I get
motion to adjourn?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.